We have been talking about Jeremiah, and we've been talking about how Jeremiah is a relatable guy, right? He's a prophet, right, that was called to a very long ministry. He ministered to a bunch of kings in the Old Testament, 5 kings over 40 years, and he was called as a young man. But as a young man, and he would have been too young to serve typically, but God calls him out of his comfort zone, and the unlikely choice that is Jeremiah all of a sudden becomes a much-needed wake-up call to the people of Judah. And so we have been following Jeremiah throughout this book, and we will continue to for a little bit longer, but we've been tracking him through, and we've been seeing how Jeremiah is a very relatable young man. And when he was called, right, he was called to do something tough. And when he was called to do something tough, naturally he responded with an excuse. And we saw how even though he was called to do something tough, God gave him no excuse. And God gave him the tools. And how even though he brought a tough message, he offered hope. And then how God commanded him to get dressed for work. And we talked about how that all applies to us, how we too are called to tough things, how we too have no excuse, how we too have been given the tools, how we have a tough message but can give hope. And now is the time to get dressed and ready for work. Last week we talked about our hearts breaking. We looked at how Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet, and he had this lament over the people, his people, and his heart broke over sin, and how our hearts should also break over sin. His heart broke about how the word of God was being treated, and so our hearts should break over the word of God not being followed. His heart broke because time was running out. And it was running out to save the people. And because of that, we too should also, our hearts should break because we are running out too. And so finally then, our hearts should break because people are willfully missing the cure. And we talked about how Christians are in many ways willfully missing the cure. Today, we're talking about another very relatable aspect of Jeremiah. And that very relatable aspect is complaining. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to complain quite a bit, all right? But we complain about a lot of things, and I don't think I could think of a more relatable concept when it comes to Jeremiah than with complaining, all right? We are, by nature, people that complain. We complain about school. We complain about work. You guys, and sometimes even when you're at my age, complain about your parents. Sometimes you complain about your friends. Sometimes, especially when you get to be my age, you complain a lot about random people on the road. A lot to complain about, but at the same time, we see how the complaining goes for Jeremiah. And what's interesting about it is God has a reaction to Jeremiah's complaining. But at the same time, while we're talking about complaining, we will also be hitting on how sometimes this world seems a bit unfair. And so we're going to hit on both those things tonight. But we're going to jump into it. And guys, I hope you stay with me. I know it's a bit of a crazy night. The room seems kind of chaotic. So if y'all just will lock in with me for a second here. I think this is some really cool thing that we can use in our daily lives. And so we're going to talk about Jeremiah. We're going to talk about his complaint. And we're going to talk about how God responds to that complaint. Cool? Start with me in Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12, we're going to be starting in verse 1. And we are going to read the whole chapter, so bear with me a little bit. But it's got some good stuff and some interesting things. So, Jeremiah chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But, O Lord, know me. You see me and test my heart towards you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of the slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither? for the evil of those who dwell in it. The beast and the birds are swept away, because they said, he will not see our latter end. Then here's the Lord's answer. If you have raced with the men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with the horses? And in a safe land you are so, and if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of Jordan? For even your brothers in the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They are in full cry after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you. I have forsaken my house. I have abandoned my heritage. I have given the beloved of my soul into the hands of her enemies. My heritage has become to me like a lion in the forest. She has lifted up her voice against me. Therefore, I hate her. It is my heritage. Is my heritage to me like a hyena's lair? Are the birds of prey against her all around? Go assemble all the wild beasts. Bring them to devour. Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. They have trampled down on my portion. They have my pleasant portion, a desolate wilderness. They have made it a desolation. Desolate it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate, but no man lays it to heart. Upon all the bare heights in the desert, destroyers have come. For the sword of the Lord devours from one end of the land to the other. No flesh has peace. They have sown wheat and reaped thorns. They have tired themselves out, but profit nothing. They shall be ashamed of their harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus says the Lord concerning all my evil neighbors who touch the heritage that I have given my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them up from their land, and I will pluck up the house of Judah from among them. And I have plucked them up, and I will again have compassion on them, and I will bring them again, each to his heritage and each to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as the Lord lives, even as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be built up in the midst of my people. But if any nation will not listen, then I will utterly pluck it up and destroy it, declares the Lord. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to dive into your word a little bit. And God, even though the book of Jeremiah is a little bit complicated, God, it's still very good stuff, and you have a lot for us in there, God. I pray that you would just allow us to focus in and not worry about what others are doing around us or what's going on. And God, that we would just be able to dive into your word, God, and that this would be truly your words tonight, God, and not mine. And I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, like I was talking about earlier, I feel like sometimes, a lot of times, we are very, very, very much complaining people. All right? And because we are complaining people, we complain about everything. And often, too, when you look at our prayers, what do they turn into? Complaints. Well, God, why did you do this? Well, God, I didn't get to do this. Why did you let that happen? I have to be honest and I have to confess something to y'all. This past week I've done a lot of complaining. It's at the end of my semester. So yeah, I'm in school too. I'm in seminary and I'm going for a master's degree. And when I get to the end of the semester, just like many of y'all will eventually when you get to college, you have either a final or a large paper. And I've written a lot of papers this semester. And I've done a lot of complaining. I'm like, God, I don't understand why this matters. God, I don't understand. I studied hard, and yet I still did not do well on this test. God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand. But at the same time, is that right? I get questions a lot about that. Like, I get questions a lot of, like, Jonathan, is it okay to ask God why? Jonathan, is it okay to be mad at God about something? Well, this kind of gives us a little bit of an answer, all right? It gives us a little bit of answer because here we see Jeremiah complaining to God and even so kind of mad at God. And what's so interesting about this is when we ask the question, is it okay to complain to God? The answer is it's not inherently sinful, but we must be very particular about how we bring our concerns to God. And the reason I say that is, look here to what Jeremiah has to say, right? And how he does go about this complaint, right? Righteous are you, O Lord, verse 1 right there, right? Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you, yet I would plead my case before you. So, righteous are you, O Lord. See, at the same time, while Jeremiah knows he's about to complain, he does it in a way that still submits himself to God. God, righteous are you, O Lord. And even though he says, God, I'm about to complain, he's essentially saying, God, I know I'm about to complain, and I know that's probably not right, but thank you for hearing me. And God, let me get it out of my system. And so in this way, I think what Jeremiah is kind of saying is that God's not afraid of our complaints. Matter of fact, he offers us a lot of grace when it comes to complaining. But yet, or matter of fact, he might even say he expects us to complain at some point. But Jeremiah recognizes this. And I think it's important that we recognize that when we go to offer our complaints, our concerns to God, we must recognize that God is still in control. And we don't go to it with a questioning mindset or a blaming mindset, but instead a asking a question mindset. God, I don't understand. Help me understand. So our heart attitude matters when we approach God with things like concerns. The second thing that's interesting about Jeremiah's complaint is that he kind of makes a very valid point. And so see what he has to say here, right? Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far in their heart. But, O Lord, know me, and you see me and test my heart towards you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will this land mourn and the grass of every field wither? For the evil of those who dwell in it, the beasts and the birds are swept away, because they said, he will not see our latter end. What is Jeremiah saying here? He's saying, look, God, I don't understand. Like, to me it seems, this is just as Jeremiah speaking, like, God, I don't understand. To me it seems like the people who should not be doing well, the people who should not be prospering, are the ones that are. It seems like the people who are taking advantage of others, like all they do is come up good. All they do is just get richer. God, I don't understand. Why do you allow this evil to happen? Why do you allow all these people to be two-faced, to claim you with their mouths and yet do everything so far away from you with their actions and their hearts? And here's the biggest one there at the end, that he will not see our latter end. What are people saying? They're saying God does not see our future and God doesn't care about our future. So again, this is blasphemous. This is a big... People are saying God can't know the future, or at least doesn't care about the future. And so Jeremiah is saying, why do you allow them to talk so badly about you, God? Jeremiah is saying, he's saying, God, if it were me, the lightning would have done come out. Right? I'd be zapping people everywhere. Destruction would have come years ago. These people would have been wiped off the face of the planet for talking so badly about me. I think sometimes we feel the same, don't we? It seems like in our world today, the bad people seem to do very well for themselves. It seems to us that people get away with a lot. The people who take advantage of others, who cheat to go forward, usually seem to stay ahead. It seems like there's a lot of people who just will absolutely trash God. And yet, it seems like our lives are sometimes harder than theirs. There's a lot of people who say one thing, claim one thing, and yet they claim to be a Christian, and yet their hearts and their actions are so far away. And today we could sit and ask that same question. God, why do you allow that? Because I'm kind of with Jeremiah. If it were up to me and I was God, I think I'd be pretty offended. And I think I'd have done something about it. So Jeremiah kind of makes a valid point. But I think what's important here, and the more important part of this passage, is what God has to say back to Jeremiah. And what's important is he offers some quick correction to Jeremiah's complaint. So look with me here at God's response, and we're going to look at it piece by piece here. First of all, God kind of says to Jeremiah, real quick, man up. Look what it says. It says, if you have raced with the men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with the horses? Your Bible may say cavalry. How will you run with the cavalry? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of Jordan? What is God saying? Jeremiah, man, you gotta man up a little bit, dog. You gotta toughen up. You gotta get yourself together, man. Remember, this series is called Tough Times, Tougher Christians. And remember, Jeremiah was called to bring a tough message. And God warned Jeremiah there would be a lot of opposition to him. So here's this opposition coming up. And in the midst of it, Jeremiah is like, God, I don't understand. Why haven't you done something about this? And God is saying, Jeremiah, don't worry about them. Jeremiah, I've called you to something. And I told you this was going to be tough. And what he's saying is, Jeremiah, I got bigger things down the road. This imagery here is super cool. When it says, if you have raced with the men on foot, what they're talking about is infantry. If you're familiar with any sort of like ancient history and like particularly the history of war, right? There were kind of, you know, different types of troops, right? And as you come, these troops get used in different ways, right? So the men on foot, you think infantry. And these are literally what they are. They're just men on foot with some sort of weapon. Usually not very well equipped, or unless you're like talking about like Rome or something like that. But usually not the strongest kind of soldier. And so marching with them was something that the low-ranked people would do. All right? You start off as an infantryman. You start off down here on the bottom marching with the infantrymen. Now, if you're good at that and you're good at your job and you can handle that, you progress up. And there was in the old days, probably one of the strongest units that you could have was a cavalry. Because people coming through on horseback could absolutely decimate infantry units. Right? Think about that. Unless you have, if you have just a sword, and there's a guy on a horse with a sword, who do you think wins that, right? High ground. Plus, you have this big, huge horse that can, you just stand over everybody, you can just run fast through everybody. And so these cavalry units were the bigger, badder, tougher units to deal with. And so what God is saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, if you can't handle these infantry, man, how are you going to handle the big guns? How are you going to handle when things get real tough? You think they're tough now? How are you going to handle when things get real tough? And he repeats that same imagery again, right? He says that if you are so trusting in a safe land, if when it's easy and the path is light, picture like a field, how are you going to handle when you get out into the thorns and the briars and the walking and the hiking gets real tough? So what's God saying? He's saying, Jeremiah, I got bigger things in store for you. It is not time for you to get discouraged now. I need you to toughen up and we need to move along. But then he follows up with this. He says this, verse 6, for even your brothers in the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They are in a full cry after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you. So what's happened, and we've kind of skipped over this part, is Jeremiah is from Anathoth, and he's from a group of priests. What's happened in the chapter before this is that the priests of Anathoth have actually come out and tried to silence Jeremiah. And they kind of two-faced him. They pretended to be his friend and then attempted to like capture him and put him down. And so what he's saying is, and what he's saying through this, like, hey, your brothers, like, I get they have turned on you. And now they have started a smear campaign against you. But what he's saying is, don't listen to them. Jeremiah, there's more dissenters and there will be more to come. You can't let this world and all the extra noise get in your head and make you quit. But he keeps going. Verse 7, and this begins the longest section of it. He says, I have forsaken my house. I have abandoned my heritage. I have given the beloved of my soul into the hands of the enemies. And when you look through here and just, you keep going, you can read on all the way through to verse 14. And all that is God saying over and over again how he's going to come through and clean everybody out. Right? Strong language here. She has lifted her voice against me, therefore I hate her. Right? Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard, and they have trampled down my portion, and they have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Right? And so then he's going to come through and make them a desolation. The sword of the Lord devours from one end of the land to the other, and the flesh has no peace. Strong language here. So what is God saying here? God is saying, Jeremiah, man up. Don't listen to the haters. And don't worry about them. Why? Because in the end, I'm coming. In the end, all this stuff that you've been worried about, all these people that you have been saying, man, like the wicked, they're getting what they don't deserve. God says it's coming. What they deserve is coming. So don't worry about them, Jeremiah. They'll get their due. And then where God ends is down in verse 16. And it says this, and it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name as the Lord lives, even as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be built up in the midst of my people. And so finally, what is the Lord doing? He's circling back around to say, Jeremiah, you can't get caught up in all of this other stuff. But you have to focus on those who will listen. Focus on those who will listen and will come back. So let's take all this, though, and let's apply it to us today. Because we live in this world like Jeremiah did. Even though it's, you know, a couple thousand years later than Jeremiah and his preaching, our world looks very much the same. We live in a very post-Christian world, to where there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians but aren't. There's a lot of people who just downright don't claim to be Christian, are just following other things. And there's a lot of people who talk badly about God. There's a lot of people who are wicked and get away with it. We live in this world that Jeremiah is describing. But God's message for us is the same as his message to Jeremiah. First of all, you, Christian, you must be tough. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about how you have been called to something. That may be something small, it may be something large. There could be somebody in this room that will one day preach to thousands. Your whole mission in life may be to minister to one person, and that's okay. You've done your job, and you are just as highly rewarded. Y'all, we've been called to something. And no matter what we've been called to, there's a very real enemy and a very real world who will both try to stand in our way. But y'all, if you want to be used to do something real and lasting for the kingdom of God, you can't let the small things, the small trials, get in your way. Why is that? Because if you get taken down by the small trials, the small troubles, the people, the small fries who don't really matter, you'll never be able to accomplish the big things for the kingdom that God wants you to. So we got to toughen up. We got to get stronger. Whether that's stronger mentally, the way we can block out some of the things that people try to say about us, the world tries to say about us. Maybe that's spiritually, where we're in our Word and we know what God has to say about us and we know what God has to say about the world and about how and about people. And so we hang on to that and we love that. And because of that, we're able to block out everything else and focus in on that. Y'all, we must be tough. The second thing, we must not get caught up in the world and listen to what they have to say. Sometimes it's your own people. For Jeremiah, it was his own people, his own family, his own relatives, his own town that said, Jeremiah, shut up. This makes no sense. Eventually tried to kill him. It's his own people. Y'all, we cannot let the world, the people around us, get in our heads and distract us from what God has called us to do. Y'all, there's a lot of things that will try to get in the way. There's a lot of friends who will try to talk you into doing what they're doing. College is coming. You won't have parents to guide you. What will you do when you're on your own? Will you let the voices get in your head, or are you going to stay tough? Y'all, we have to be very good at blocking out the world and what it says for us. So we must be tough. We must not listen to the world. Number three, we must trust that God's bigger picture is better. Just as with Jeremiah, Jeremiah looks around at the world and he says, God, I can't believe this. I can't understand why you allow this to happen. And what does God say? Jeremiah, I'm not allowing this to happen. It's coming. Y'all, it's coming. The world is an evil place and it deserves judgment. But it does not deserve judgment by you. And it's already been judged by God. We don't have to worry about that. Let me tell you, it doesn't do you a lot of good to try to get ahead here on this world when eternity hangs in the balance. What's 90 good years in the span of eternity? Let people lie, cheat, steal, get their way ahead here. You worry about your eternity. Because 90 years of great to eternity in hell, I'll take a bad 90 years. We cannot let the evil of this world, everybody else that's going on, all this stuff, don't worry about it, y'all. But at the same time, focus on the mission. That's where God left Jeremiah. Don't worry about the bad people. Don't worry about the evil. Focus on those who will come back. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We cannot get caught up in the world. We have to focus on those that we can reach and will listen. That's what we've been called to do. We've been called to go and go and go. Not try to go and quit. Not just be a great person that comes to church and sits there and listens and only takes in. We've been called to go. And that requires focus. So, y'all, we got to be tough. There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of things that can distract us out there. But we must focus on the mission. So circle that all the way back. How does God feel about complaining? He gives us grace. But complaining detracts from the mission. Jeremiah's complaining pulled him off mission. And God was very quick to say, get back on. So, bring your concerns to God. But don't let your complaints and your troubles and the trials of this world pull you off of the mission that God has called you to do. Cool? I'm going to pray for us, and then we will be dismissed. God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us. I thank you for this message here that you've given us in Jeremiah, God. You have called us to be tough. And God, we are prone to being caught in complaint, and you give us a lot of grace, God, and we are thankful for that grace. But God, help us to not get caught up in complaining and worrying about this world and worrying about ourselves, God. But let us focus on the mission. Help us to focus on the mission and to reach those who are looking for you and want to come to you. Strengthen us, send us out, and let us be a people who go. And I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. As Reese wants me to say, you're the church gathered. Go be the church scattered. You're welcome.